Because he wants that authentic reaction.
Mm-hmm. I have some authentic stuff for Lisa today she doesn't know about.
Uh-oh. You said you edit this too, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
We play all the bloopers. We just take out the good stuff.
We've talked about making a blooper reel. We might save that for when we go video.
We have too much cutting room floor.
Material.
It'd take forever to cut. Just throw it all together and
it's
call it.
It's usually like long pauses or sneezes or.
No burps.
Burps, sure.
Well, we have a guest today, Sky.
It's
drum roll, please. We still don't have that on our. Yeah,
I know, we need that. There you go.
There she's doing her
she
own
brings
drum
her
roll.
Own.
You know what? Introduce yourself.
Hello, everybody. I am Lisa Farley.
Yay.
Lisa Farley, who I call President Pro Temp, and President. Temporarily and potentially president, and for sure president. What the heck's your title? Are you still the president?
I am the president.
And you said elections are in November.
Elections are in November. So
is
until
that
then,
timed with the rest of politics, or just happens to be accidentally in November?
I don't know. The original board said it, so November it is. Somehow I got elected back in the summer 2 years ago, so it's been over 2 years. But
that's awesome.
You know, our listener base might think this election's more important than the national election. I'm just saying, based on who we
it's
know.
It's pickleball. Of course it is.
All three of our listeners that we always joke about might think this election.
Well, I'm
bigger.
One of them.
Oh, that's yay. Awesome. Hey, no wonder she's on. If you listen, feel free to come onto our podcast. Yeah, we're so grateful you came. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And she made the drive up here early, Sky. She played pickleball with us at 6:30 this morning.
I know, that's a long,
which
that's
means
an early,
she had to leave
early
before
morning.
6, her time.
Oof.
I mean, her time. It's the same as our time, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Before 6 in her area.
Before her normal hours,
part
maybe.
Of her town.
Yeah.
Oh, long before my hours. The Farley hours are not morning hours usually.
But we got her here, and we're very grateful. Here's what happened, Sky. I think you might have seen this, but we had a post out about one of our podcasts a monthish ago, and Lisa had responded on one of the comment pages
yes.
or whatever, and she said, "I'd love to talk about this," or something. Aww. Something crazy like that. And we were like, "Fish on, let's go!
You're right.
Get her in the boat." And so she's here, and we're here to talk about pickleball addiction.
Yes,
but hopefully in a much more fun way than. Like checking into a clinic.
I mean, I didn't push you that far. I just pointed out all the weirdness of your addiction.
Well, that comes along with addiction. Yeah. Weirdness comes along with it. So there are negatives.
Well,
mostly his car.
Lisa was telling me a story this morning about a guy that she's been working with, and she thinks he's got the...
He's got the bug.
He's got the bug.
Oh,
so he's
yeah.
pretty close to full-on addiction at this point.
He has specifically asked me, "Is it weird if I play twice in a day?"
Oh,
we're like,
no,
twice.
It's probably weird if you don't.
Yeah, I mean, if you get to 4 times, let me know where you're playing.
You call me.
I'll join you over there.
That's so true.
All right, you know what, folks? I'm ahead of the game. Lisa, I'm going to start off with a different question, though. I would love to hear from you, since you are the president of Indie Pickleball Club, a very well-known organization in our area. What's going on with the group? What's the latest and greatest? What do you have coming up on the calendar? What should people be signing up for or watching for?
Thanks for asking. We got a lot going on. Besides the usual, you know, try to be involved and do all kinds of things in Indianapolis and the greater Indianapolis area, we have some member benefits. People always say, "What do I get for being a member?" The first Wednesday night of the month, we play over at Mashcraft and Fishers.
That's fun.
Tuesday nights, we have a Indie Pickleball Club member group that plays. We had a league the first half of the summer, and now we're doing ladder play, which is one-offs because too many people didn't want to commit to more than one or two nights. So it's been great. Last night we played, and I think this next week we're going to have people sign up to do maybe skinny singles.
Oh, fun.
Haven't sent that one out yet. We have a couple things coming up. Over at Farmers Bank Fieldhouse, we're going to be playing Dinks and Drinks tonight and next
nice.
Week.
I'm sensing a theme. Mashcraft, Dinks and Drinks.
Hey, they come to us.
Well, but skinny like singles, fun. You heard it here first, everybody. But wait a minute, skinny or mini?
Well, they say both. With the USAP, they say both. It shows up in pickleball brackets as skinny singles, and they've also called it mini singles because some people were offended by it.
Oh.
It just means a skinny court, not having anything to do with the players, because trust me, I play and wouldn't necessarily be called that.
We need some kind of unity on it, because as I understood it, skinny was when you always just stayed on one side and played straight. They actually built skinny courts that were half the size. But mini, you can also go diagonal. Mm-hmm. So I do think there's kind of, maybe there should be a different name for them both, because it's just horrible. Skinny and mini sound, mini sounds crazy. Mini pickleball is what we already do. That's called addiction. That's M-A-N-Y.
Yeah,
we play mini pickleball all the time. Yeah. Much pickleball. But I don't know.
I agree with you. I think there are some questions that come in as far as how you play it. And I if you look it up, you're going to get both.
So your version is the straight diagonal.
Exactly.
It just depends on your score.
Score.
Whatever your score is, you stay on that side,
yep.
Correct?
Score dictates where you play.
Each
and
side.
You only move if you score. And if your opponent doesn't score, they don't move.
Yep. I like that version. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite version. Mm-hmm. Mixes it up the most. But the only challenge is, and it's really a very small challenge, it uses a whole court.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For two people, which so does singles, right? So no big deal. But I think there's a future for courts to be built with true skinny courts. So take advantage of that extra 20 feet you have that you can't get a full court in on, mm-hmm. and go ahead and build a skinny court. But again, it's a different game. So interesting. Maybe.
We also have a tournament coming up August 24th, 25th, and we are doing a Radio 1 tournament there at Farmers Bank Fieldhouse.
Nice.
So we've got some things. Oh, and then we've got the team tournament in October.
I was going to ask you about that.
Ooh, tell me more.
So good news, Sky. It's after our countywide event.
Okay, good.
Yes, which is important.
Yeah.
And can I?
Can,
all right.
You can.
Well, the Pickleballers, I think, are going to represent.
What?
And so who are all the team clubs coming? So
we have Go West, Indianapolis Pickleball Club, Lifetime in Castleton.
Of course.
Pickle on Penn.
Okay.
Muncie, Pickleballers. Two others.
Anybody from Fort Wayne or anywhere else?
No, we've tried to keep it more in the central Indianapolis area, the Indy area here, only because there are so many groups now.
True.
I'll get back to you on that.
That's exciting.
I got six.
That's awesome.
I cannot remember the ones you told me this morning outside, the ones you already
I haven't
said.
Written down at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But eight teams.
Eight teams. And what we're going to do is we'll have the Duper 14s, Duper 16s play on Saturday. So in morning for one and afternoon for the other. Then the Duper 18s and the Duper 20s, which people are saying it might be difficult to find, but I don't think so. You people are out there. And what we'll do is each area will bring four teams, one for each of the Dupers, and they'll compete. And in the end, not only will we have the team winner for that Duper level, but then we will have an overall team winner, which team wins the most out of the four groups.
Wow.
And we'll have a travel trophy.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I'd like this to be the beginning.
That's
of
so cool.
What we do next.
We've talked about this on and off for 2 years. We had a club versus club event.
I remember.
5 years ago and again 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a trophy. I think we ate the pickles.
Did we?
Yeah.
Shoot.
But Lisa, because some people may not know, Duper 14 means the four players who are on that team, if you add up their Duper scores, cannot exceed 14.
Correct.
So then Duper 16, 18, and 20, obviously the same rules apply. We did something very similar last year. We had a countywide tournament in Madison County. Lisa, you were one of our tournament directors at that, so you're obviously very aware of it. And at the end, we took the top men's team and the top women's teams, and then we put them together for an MLP style mm-hmm. or Duper style tournament,
exactly.
City versus city in the countywide tournament. So it's exciting. It's a lot of fun, which means, Pickleballers, that if you haven't heard this yet from me, which I don't know, this will post in a week, so by then maybe I will have talked to a few of you, but we will have some kind of tournament ahead of time locally mm-hmm. to figure out who we're sending on to the big deal tournament.
That was going to be
like that. Let's call it
the big deal tournament.
The big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's a big deal. Winning this tournament's a big deal.
It totally is.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. I was like, who's on the team?
Nobody, because we haven't even, I heard about it this morning for the first time, so I'm excited.
It's awesome.
And there will be 16 people because we'll have the group, representing each of the teams.
Mm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we don't know who we'll end up going because we'll probably, like I said, do some kind of competition for it. And I actually have a really good idea for how to do that, but
I'm excited.
I'll let that out.
Excited to
I'll
see
let that cow the bag
how that
around.
Plays out.
Mm-hmm. So Lisa, Indie Pickleball Club, got a lot going on. Check into it. Some of it's on the website. A lot of it's on the Facebook posts. So just keep up with that.
I actually want to go back to the Duper 14. So pick a number. Let's just call it Duper 14. Is there any strategy you think to who you pick to be on that team?
Heck yeah.
What's your thinking on it?
Well, I talked to a couple people who are frustrated because their Duper scores are either really low or really high.
Mm.
Let's just say person X has a really high Duper score, which is kind of unusually high, that maybe they don't feel like they're a 5.25.
Okay.
And so that's hard for them. But what they do then is they find somebody who's maybe had a couple tough tournaments and their duper score's really low, and they actually play really well together. So there are some things that you can do in order to make it more fun, probably more systematic. I don't know. There are people who like to play if they're all, you know, 3.8, 3.8, 3.75, 3.7, and they like to play together because they say, okay, we're pretty similar.
Right.
But there are those who are going to be over, like, oh, we'll have a 4.2 on our team, but yeah, we have a 3.3 on our team also, who just doesn't play well right now. Mm. Or maybe they just got done with surgery on their foot and their duper score went down.
Exactly.
You know. Mm-hmm.
We did a whole podcast on my dupers and the poopers. So
I heard that.
Mine is a 3.431 right now. So mm-hmm. I'm good, fair game for people. I'm a good low duper. You all know I'm higher than a 3.431. I got to be at least a 3.47.
The brawlers. Stay here, man.
And
stay
Sky, here. Your duper also very low. Ladies and gentlemen, she's a catch, let me tell you.
I know she is.
In more ways than one. 2.485.
But that's what we're talking about.
All what you're playing at. That's not even close to what you're playing at. So that's to your point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I like that strategy also.
Yeah.
Do you like the strategy of, let's just say the dupers are correct. Do you still like the strategy, though, of having a strong partner with a weaker partner in terms of?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I want somebody to win, to get a win. And if you couple a strong partner with a weaker partner, it depends on who you're playing against. But then you run the risk of not winning that game or match.
I know.
Course.
But in a duper 14, you can have 1 5.0 and 3 3.0s.
Oh, I know.
So
that person will get picked on.
And the average is 3.5. No, the 5.0 won't get picked on.
No, but they might have a hard time playing, because what we've noticed is sometimes when you play with people who are significantly lower ability, or maybe even in this case, they have a 3.0 duper for a reason. Mm-hmm. They've had a couple tough tournaments or some, you know, difficult play lately. It sets up the 5.0 to not necessarily have the shots that they would be looking for.
That's true.
And so it does take people out of their game a little bit.
I can totally see that. Mm-hmm. That is so exciting. So we will put the link to the Indie Pickleball Club on our Facebook page. So after you've heard this episode and you want to connect with Indie Pickleball, go to our Facebook page. We'll have the link. That'll take you straight there, and you can see all the things that are happening.
Thanks.
Indie Pickleball Club.
And if you have questions, I am the one who answers the emails. So there's a contact us button.
Oh, perfect.
Lisa.Farley@yahoo.com.
Great website too.
I don't really know that that's what it is. I'm just making that up, but try it. Maybe she'll get it.
Probably not, but indiepickleballclub.com. That's it.
There you go.
Okay. What is this all about? This addiction thing? I want to hear more.
You know, it's interesting because I don't feel like we're addicted.
Oh, okay. There's the first sign right there. The first sign denial. Of addiction is denial. That's exactly right.
Thank you. I had that planned for this whole day, and I couldn't wait to say it.
There you go.
And there you go.
Oh, that's so funny.
But truly, I don't think we're addicted. And I'll tell you why.
Okay. I'm listening.
I can live without it for a day.
A day.
No, you can't. How mad are you? How mad are you if Sky gets to go play and you can't?
Actually, not at all.
He actually encourages that.
Oh, no, I'm not saying you're mad at Sky. You're just mad that you don't get to play. Oh,
that's probably a different story.
I take off Sundays, so I can.
One day a week?
But look, I mean, no offense.
I can stop when I want to.
But most
that's
most
sign
other
number two.
I've got the whole list here. We're just going to keep going down. Right.
Well, how do you explain watching it on TV on the days that you can't play?
Or on YouTube.
Exactly.
Or going back to your own videos so that you can look over how you play.
I mean, like, if he's not playing, he's reviewing. Or we're watching it somewhere.
Kevin, you're normal, just so you know, as far as addiction. And there are lots of people. The thing is, I've had a couple people kind of get mad at me because I've made a comment about being addicted to pickleball, and they say, you know, please don't call it that. And I understand the point. Well, I understand the point, but I will say this. Part of the thing about addiction is that there's a negative aspect to it, and there is a negative aspect to being addicted to pickleball.
Sure.
And sometimes we see it with families. I've seen a few people who were massive pickleballers that their spouse was not and ended their marriage. I've seen people who have left all their friends behind who are not pickleballers. I've seen people missing work because of pickleball. I mean, so there are some negatives to it. So I can see where the addiction actually does come in.
I can totally see that too. I mean, like when he first started, we were so excited that he was doing something active and we were very understanding. But there was a point when we're like, oh, he's at pickleball again. And so the moment when all four of us were playing in our house, I knew it was like one of the greatest days for him because he got to see his kids play, his wife's playing, and it was pure joy for him. But we also knew that overtraining is another aspect of it, and that's true of any sport. You can overtrain in any sport, but
and you can be addicted to any sport, I think.
Exactly.
Addiction. I have the definition here.
Okay, again.
The fact or condition of being addicted to a particular substance, thing, or activity.
There you go.
Yep.
So it's legit.
Yep.
I think we mean well. Yeah. There's such a good side of pickleball. True. I'm sort of tired of the people who tell me that all the doctors these days blame pickleball for all these injuries.
Oh,
and
I
my
agree.
Thing is, we have millions of people playing pickleball now, and of course, our number of injuries are going to go up, and that's just part of the numbers game. But yep. There's so much health associated with pickleball, not just physical health, but mental health, emotional health,
Preach.
Social health.
Preach.
There's so many good things to it that that's where people get frustrated with the word addiction. However, when you look at how it is totally, how many paddles do you own was part of our conversation this morning. We don't want to talk about that.
No comment. None.
I have one person I play with who says, my spouse doesn't know, but I'm buying another paddle, you know.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how that.
Oh, I ship them to the neighbor's house. I don't ship them home.
You just said that.
Ship them to my office.
I
ship them
to
my friend's office. I ship them to my friend's house.
Oh, you're so funny. Not anymore.
Woo.
Maybe once in a pot in time.
Nah, I've never done that.
No.
Right.
I have been like, that's just a replacement paddle, baby. My other one broke.
I've heard seven that times. Excuse a lot. So either he's breaking a lot of paddles or...
That's true. I do break a lot of paddles. Yeah. Not anymore. The technology's gotten a lot better. I haven't broken a paddle in probably since January, which is a long time for me.
It is.
Yeah.
Not to support an addiction or anything. However, there is a good reason to have a lot of paddles because you're helping a lot of people learn the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And therefore, they have to have a paddle to use. So we've got extra paddles at our house, which I'm just going to go with that right now.
I mean, I said to this guy on a recent podcast, I'm like, what are you doing not having paddles in your car? Well, I cleaned it out. I'm like, that's not an excuse. Honey, we're addicted. Read that right there.
Okay. We're addicted. Well, and it's true because we'll have people say, hey, my family's coming to town. I want to teach them how to play pickleball. Can we borrow some paddles? Mm-hmm. That happens to us a lot.
Yeah.
Or we're at the, you know, city park and we see somebody that needs one. And
we're on our way to a family trip. And the first thing my daughter said was, are you bringing the pickleball stuff?
So we've gone as far as to bring a pickleball net onto a cruise ship before.
Oh, good.
We took two nets onto that ship.
Yeah. So that is also a level.
And we ran pickleball. We ran pickleball on that ship, which was my goal.
He took it over. They let him take it over.
Awesome.
But it was pretty funny.
That was on a Norwegian.
Was it? I don't remember.
That was to the Honduras, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was with...
James and Robin and Ryan and Sarah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he brought his own team and his own gear. And we brought it on.
Look, that was 2020, but it was before COVID. So this was January or February? January?
It was the end of January.
January 2020, right before COVID hit.
Yep.
And so it wasn't really popular yet on cruise ships. We learned on a cruise ship.
It wasn't popular
anywhere. Yeah, it was kind of.
It was starting.
We kept hearing that it was the fastest growing sport in the world, but it was still only 4 million people or whatever. Right now, it's ridiculous. But I was
ridiculously good.
Yeah, I was like, they're going to have a sport court. And you watch those cruise ships, the sport courts are empty a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, well, James and Robin and Sky and I will play all day long. Our friends Ryan and Sarah will play.
How was the wind, though?
Okay, so
it was
the first.
Well,
actually, the ship we learned on, it was great because they had the screens up, and there was hardly any wind we noticed at all. And we were at sea, which is booking.
Mm.
When we played with James and Robin on this Norwegian ship, sorry, it was Royal Caribbean ship. There were not screens, and it was rocking. So it was windy and rocking, and James will tell you, he was like, I loved it. It was like drunk pickleball. He doesn't get drunk, but he was like, I think this is probably what it's like. You know, he was like, well, you know, because we were like, whoa, everyone shipped left, everyone shipped right. And of course the net stays put, but the whole team's like sliding over. And
there's actually three courts.
It was an absolute riot. Yep. We had so much. Yeah, they had a really crappy net that the ship had because no one knew to get good stuff at the time.
Mm. And it was more like a hockey rink. Mm. So if you hit too high, you lost your ball.
Yeah.
To see?
Probably.
No.
The dolphins are out there playing.
Yeah.
I did a sabbatical back in 2019 in Sweden.
Ooh.
And part of it was working with a school, talking about, you know, mental health and some other things. And I did say to them, can I teach pickleball? So I taught pickleball while I was there, and they didn't really know too much about it. And it was starting. There were some places around them that was starting. They had a court or two. And so it was really fun. I took it there. And so then when I was asked to go to the Special Olympic World Games in Berlin,
oh wow!
First thing I asked was, can we teach pickleball? So they actually had us set up three nets in the middle of Berlin.
Oh wow!
And teach it for 3 days.
That's amazing.
Oh, actually, we only had one net, but we taught it for 3 days in Berlin. It was awesome. So
that earlier this year?
That was last year.
Or late last year?
Last summer.
Okay. Oh, a year ago already. Yep. Wow. Time flies.
I know you've done a lot, and we're probably talking about this at some point today.
I don't know.
But you have done a lot with youth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wanted to go there. That's fine.
Well, it's fun. I'm going to segue this way. Indie Pickleball Club's done, you know, our whole mission is to bring pickleball to the world. And it doesn't matter what race, gender, age, ability, financial level, et cetera.
Yep. I get a witness?
Amen, brother. No, we're just trying to get everybody to play it. That's our whole objective, right? So we've taught wheelchair pickleball. We've worked with the Veterans Association. I teach Special Olympics pickleball, which, by the way, I've got a meeting coming up, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about how to do more with that. Okay. I had a meeting yesterday about it. But my latest foray is working with youth in terms of summer camps.
Absolutely love it.
And I just have a kind of a cute little story for you.
Please share.
So there are several places. I got to do a major shout out to Poppy Lopez with Vamos Pickleball.
Poppy.
He does so much with them. And he just did one, I think it was yesterday or Monday, that they had a pay what you want for the kids.
Nice.
Because his objective is to not make finances a barrier to pickleball.
Yep.
Love it.
And then he works with the kids and teaches them how to play and does a great job. And he does it in multiple places. But I've been working over at Lifetime in Castleton, and they have kids camp all summer long. And 2 days a week, they get to choose pickleball as one of their options. And we never know how many kids we're going to get. We don't know which kids we're going to get because they get to choose that day. Well, hey, what do you want to do today? So the first day I went in there, now I'm a trained physical education person. I have a license to teach 5th through 12th grade. So I know about lead up games and I know about things, but I'm also a pickleball instructor. And typically when we work with adults, they want to learn pickleball and they want to learn the rules. They want to learn how to play and they want to get games going.
Yep.
But you can't do that with some of the kids because they're just not ready for it.
Right.
So I tried a little bit. It was pretty good. They had a good time. But then the next day I came in armed. We started to do lead up games. So one of our lead up games is you have to hit a ball over the net and run to the kitchen line as fast as you can. They think that's just a hilarious game. What they don't realize is it's teaching them something, right? So then last week I ran a fun little relay race, and they had to popcorn, you know, where you pop the paddle with the ball. And they're so good at that now because they've been doing it all summer. They have to run to a certain spot. Then they have to get the ball into this big wide bucket that we have. Then they have to try to hit a target if they can. They can roll it even if they can't. And then at the end, they hula hoop. And they said, they're getting smart. They said, why do we hula hoop? What does that have to do with pickleball? And I said, it makes you laugh. It makes you cheer each other on. And I'm doing it with you and you can laugh at me as well. And that's part of pickleball too, is being willing to just have some fun with it.
I love it.
So we did this fun little race. So who do I get? I often get 7, 8-year-olds, some 10-year-olds, and then I had an 11-year-old, right? But last week I had a 3-year-old.
Oh my goodness.
That had to be adorable.
She says,
Miss Lisa, don't do it too hard because I've never played before.
Oh,
I just wanted to squish her. She was so cute.
Aww.
But the paddle was half of her size, right. You know, and we have youth size paddles, but I didn't have them there that day. So she was so cute. She loved doing the lead up games. She loved it. And when she couldn't get a ball over the net, I had her toss it underhand. So it's a lead up game, right?
Yeah, so cool.
Once we got to playing, usually what we do is lead up games for half of it, and then we play for half of it. And the rules are different. You know, get the ball in the court. If it bounces twice, who cares? Hit it back over. You know, so we're learning bits and pieces of it. She had a hard time. And thank you, Trent, you were one of the people that was with her and was helpful with her. And she got a little frustrated at that point. But just going backwards, all kids can try to play it. It's really difficult when they're really little like that. But yeah, you can do the lead-in games and call it pickleball if you want to call it pickleball. But it's not the pickleball you and I are playing. It's right, just the lead-up stuff. But it gets them excited about it because she said, I want to come back next week too.
Aww.
So I expected to see her this past week. I didn't see her. But she wants to come back because she enjoys that. So make it fun.
Definitely. And just to keep her attention span that whole time.
Exactly.
I mean, the attention span for a 3-year-old versus a 10-year-old is very...
Well, and having a 3-year-old and a 10-year-old on the court is at the same time is really difficult. And thank you to these kids. They're so, it teaches them some patience, just like the rest of us need to learn. But we also had her as the third player on the side. So,
oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
So speaking of sort of what is and what isn't pickleball, right? I have a lot of comments that just pop into my head there, but I love having this person as the third person on the team. We have a lot of 3-on-3 games we like to play. Mm-hmm. Just so that two people don't have to sit out when we're stuck with six. I say stuck with six because it's such a joy to have exactly the right number of people. But when you have two extras, you don't want to sit.
Right.
Right.
So we have a great 3-on-3 game we play. That's a great idea, too, for introducing other people. Like, I've got a lady that's got some mobility challenges. I should do 3-on-3 with her. That makes me think of that right now. Mm-hmm. That would get her into the game, get her in a spot where she could cover just like a dink on one side or the other. And we can have somebody quick behind her covering the other stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah. It's just.
Pickleball cool. is pickleball, right? We all want to play pickleball, especially us addicts. We want to get out there and play the game hard.
Speak for yourself.
I am. I am an addict.
I'm going to keep denying
my name's this Lisa, whole
podcast.
Addict.
I'm going to deny it.
That's so funny because in the last podcast, you admitted it.
This is not an intervention, people.
No, my name is Lisa and I'm an addict.
Yeah, that's why I would say the same thing too.
We want you to continue. We want both of you to continue playing.
But my point is, pickleball doesn't have to be all about the rules. That's part of the joy of pickleball. And the reason pickleball grows so fast is the joy of it and the social aspect of it. So you've got somebody who can't hit a ball after one, give them two. When we teach Special Olympic pickleball, it's a whole different game.
Absolutely.
And yet they have a blast. They're going to talk about making it a state sport.
That's awesome.
I love that. Hurry up and do that, Indiana.
Well, they're working on it. They're love working it. On it.
Really that's awesome.
It. Yeah. But it's because of people like you who continue to introduce it to the neighborhood and continue to incorporate communities together with citywide tournament and countywide tournaments. And now we're going to do the Central Indiana tournaments and, you know, just keep bringing people together.
Lisa, I think you and I should together, collectively here, if you will, welcome Skye to the Addiction Club. Because she just recently became addicted to pickleball.
I do love it. I do. I mean, I grew up as an athlete, and it's hard not to have a sport. It's hard to find a volleyball team sometimes, but I do. I really love it. I'm not to the point of Kevin yet, but...
Whatever. She quit her job so she could play with me more.
I did.
I did too.
I did.
That's true. Both of these ladies have quit so they could play more. How awesome is that?
I mean, I will go back to work eventually, but no, for the time being.
If the addiction is real, you may not ever go back to work.
No, you find a pickleball job is what you do.
Be careful, be careful. I might have a job interview soon. You might be ruining it for
They're
me.
Not listening to this podcast. And if they are, they'll understand. That's the best part.
Okay.
So it's kind of a win-win.
Your passion shows. How's that?
I do love it. I really enjoyed the tournament.
Yeah, we went up to Beer City just to watch.
We did.
We were there for 2 days. Had an absolute blast. Yeah. It was funny because on the drive home, I was like, I hope that these 3 or 4 things that you got out of here. And she was like, I already had those things. And not like learning things. I just really want her to understand like what I see from an excitement perspective or what I see from an opportunity perspective or what I see from an expansion perspective. And she was like, I already got those things. Like, this
you don't have to point them out, man.
Yeah, she was like, I was like, yes, my wife is there. She's fully addicted. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
You know what I struggle with? You just said a word that's interesting because I see opportunity also.
Always.
There are a lot of people who just want to play pickleball and there isn't about opportunity. And I look at them strangely like they're from Mars and think, how do you not see bringing the other people in? But it's okay. There's nothing wrong with them just saying, I just want to come play, leave, done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's their exercise and their stress relief. They don't want to make it a job necessarily.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's just become such a way of life at my house.
Well, grow on, pickleball, grow on. Any last thoughts, Lisa, before we wrap up?
Pickleball is for everyone. And
everyone is for pickleball.
Everyone is for pickleball. I don't think it takes a lot to get kind of addicted to it. And it's okay to say, I am addicted to it, but then to recognize what it is, that the negative aspects of those addictions,
right,
and to try to balance it a little bit better.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going to confirm that too by saying, anytime you ask anybody that has a consistent workout routine, fitness regime, a sport that they, you know, they do every week, if you ask them why do they keep doing it, it's because of the way it makes them feel. Mm.
Dopamine, and, baby.
Well, it's not just the dopamine, but it might be the physical fitness aspects of it, the community aspects of it. And so one of the reasons I believe that pickleball has grown so much, so fast, is because it hits all of those areas. And it's very accessible. It's easy to learn. And you can play with your whole family. Mm-hmm. So grandkids all the way through grandparents can play at the same time. And that's a very rare activity.
Agreed.
All right, on behalf of Lisa Farley and the Indie Pickleball Club, my lovely, sweet love, the One Take Wonder Sky, and me here at the Sweet Labs podcast, thank you all for liking, subscribing. Please share with people that you think might care. We love you all.
Sharing is caring.
So we're out of here.